Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 27 minutes after 7 a.m. this morning, and our next topic, a pretty interesting one, and I'm sure many of us will be able to relate to, is the ever-increasing cost of housing. You know that the cost of housing has increased drastically, and the cost of property has increased drastically over the past few years. And I mean, the chances of owning a conventional home or house remains pretty slim for low-income households. Now, according to a recent report published on the online job aggregator at Zuna, the average cost for a conventional house amongst 8 cities across South Africa ranges from 1 million rand to 5 million rand, with Cape Town's property value being the highest. However, a 2018 report conducted by the Centre for Affordable Housing Finance revealed that there's a greater need for affordable residential property. And of course, you know, with this increasing demand, you know, that supply is just at times not there. But of course, you know, to provide analysis on this topic, we are joined by Ilana Mauser, who is a consultant at 71.4. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, Ilana.
Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. Now, first off, if we could define, you know, what entry-level housing, RDP housing, and conventional housing is, and of course, the income bracket of an individual that this would apply to. You know, we've heard of these terms over and over again. What exactly do they mean?
Well, the RDP market really serves households with an income of less than 3,500 rand. Then we have something called the FLISP market, and FLISP stands for Finance Linked Individual Subsidy Program. And that serves households who earn above 3,500 rand but below 22,000 rand. And for those households, there's a capital subsidy available, subject to a couple of conditions, one of which is that the household has to access a mortgage for a property that they want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the cost of housing. What we're seeing in the resale market is that there are affordable houses to buy. I mean, often they're in areas that people might not want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the areas of Cape Town where we know crime rates are particularly high, for instance, or where transportation is not adequately provided. In those areas, and I can name a couple of them, an area like Delft, for instance,
yes.
Properties are available on the resale market. We're seeing them for, let's say, 120,000, 150,000 rand. And those are RDP properties that were given by government to a household maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and that household's now selling that property. And so that is affordable stock, and even someone who earns, let's say, 4,000 rand a month with a FLISP subsidy, and the FLISP subsidy that they would get if you earn around 4,000 rand would be, let's say, 120,000 rand is the capital subsidy that you would get, you would be able to afford a house, you know, with a mortgage for about 170,000 rand. So the availability of the capital subsidy does really change the affordability equation significantly, particularly for households who earn, let's say, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 rand a month. Those subsidies are very, very generous.
Okay. Now, of course, in terms of the demand for housing, it is there. But to address this demand, you know, which types of what you've just mentioned is currently needed to address the housing crisis, which we see here in the Western Cape, especially in Cape Town?
You know, it looks to us like we need supply across the board. So what happens when there isn't enough supply at the top of the market is that those households might buy down, and then you get something which people might call gentrification, for instance. So the household at the top of the market can't find anything to buy, buys down, fixes the place up. And that's what's starting to happen. What we'd like to see happen is kind of the other way around, where you've got supply coming in, and actually easier for the market to supply at the top. Because that's where they can make a little bit of money. But what we've got is what we'd like to see is more supply coming through across the market, and people transacting in the resale market. So we want to see people buying, people selling properties, and moving into another bracket. So you might sell your house and move up, or if you're retiring, you might sell your house and move down. So the market itself, being able to supply through the resale mechanism, is a critical source of supply, which I think people don't really think about.
All right. Ilana, we are going to be heading out for our headlines at the bottom of the hour. We continue the conversation when we return. Thank you.
ITO Pietersburg Kenilworth Centre. Call them on 021-671-6191.
Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 7:33 this morning, if you've just joined us, welcome into it. At this point in time, we are speaking in terms of Cape Town's property values, which are some of the highest in the country, especially when it comes to conventional housing. And, you know, because of the high property values, of course, lower income bracket earners cannot afford, and therefore the demand for affordable housing, social housing, is on the increase, and the supply we're sort of working out. But we are speaking online this morning to Ilana Melzer from 71.4. Now, Ilana, in terms of property values for entry-level houses, does it differ from city to city if we compare Cape Town to Johannesburg or Durban, for instance?
It will differ, but what we're finding is that the same broad factors at play, and that broad factor is the stock of housing that government has been building post-democracy. Those RDP houses now forming the base layer of that entry-level resale market. And so we're seeing very similar structural sort of issues in, let's say, Shawshank Ruby, Mamelodi, up in Gauteng. We might see the same thing in Cato Manor, in KZN. So very similar patterns in the major metros that we're seeing in terms of a very vibrant entry-level market, really stimulated by that supply that came on sort of 10, 15 years ago and continues to be supplied.
Now, Ilana, when it comes to, you know, the RDP housing, what does the law state regarding the resale of such properties? You know, we've had many messages and comments coming through in terms of, okay, you know, certain individuals or families are granted or given these homes only then to rent it out, so to speak. Is this ethical? Is it legal? How does it work?
You know, this is an interesting question, and I suppose at the end of the day it just comes down to your personal opinion. From a specific sort of regulatory requirement, there is a restrictive clause in the title deed of an RDP house that's given to the first beneficiary, and that clause basically says you may not sell this house for 8 years. Now, someone who gets a house and who wants to sell it is going to sell it. They're just going to sell it informally. So they're not going to go through lawyers. The buyer's going to buy the house, often pay cash, move into the house. The seller gets the money, moves away, and there's no transaction that happens always visible at the deeds registry. And then what happens to that buyer, what can happen, and what we're seeing is happening to that buyer, is the seller realizes, say 5 or 10 years later, oh, I sold my house, but actually I didn't sign any paperwork, so legally I haven't sold my house, and actually I can sell it again. And that's what's starting to happen. So people might have bought a house in 2010, 2008, and they bought the house for, let's say, 50,000 rand. Now, we've seen clients coming to us where the seller has turned around and said to them, actually, I sold my house for far too little. You know, I know the house today is worth 200,000 rand. So if you want the title deed, you need to pay me another 150,000 rand. And that's the very, very negative consequence of restrictive clauses that prevent people from transacting. They're going to do it anyway. That's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, we don't just want people to get their houses and sell them and move away, and that is a problem. You know, when people are poor and you give them an asset, and so they're asset rich but income poor, they might well decide, look, I just want to sell this and 50,000 rand, the most money I've ever seen, I'm happy to sell the house. So that is a problem. I think the way we'd like to think about it is that what we really need in this market is good transaction support. And that's what we've done with CAF at a transaction support center that we've been running for over a year in Khayelitsha. We were trying to really understand what is it about a transaction that is encouraging the seller to put the property into the market, what does the buyer need, and try and provide impartial free advice and access to legal mechanisms so that people transact formally, and that protects the buyers going forward. And so we've been running the centre. There are no costs for people who come to us. When there is a transaction, we just charge for disbursement, so that's 1,000 rand, which is significantly less than what you'd have to pay if you went to a lawyer. I mean, entry-level property transactions, if you went to a conveyancer, you would have to pay around 10,000 rand in legal fees. So that's what we're trying to do, take the frictions out of the market, provide good advice, help the sellers, help the buyers so that people don't just try and flip the property quickly and get the cash. Really try and enable people to participate in a market with advice, with good mechanisms for protection.
Sure. Now, in terms of, you know, another issue, and that's with regards that we're facing in Cape Town, as well as Johannesburg, I believe, is in terms of inner city housing. And there are groups, we understand, that are spearheading campaigns involving the unlawful occupation of vacant inner city properties. Ilana, what are your thoughts, you know, on this? And what do you think government can do to possibly address this?
You know, I can't comment specifically on what we're seeing actually in Cape Town, but I can talk to you a little bit about what we're seeing in Johannesburg. And it's a very different market dynamic. So in Johannesburg, you had an inner city which really degenerated, and still parts of the inner city, if you drive through Johannesburg, you kind of feel like, hey, you know, what city am I in? It's kind of really a little bit surreal. Cape Town, we never had that. So in Joburg, you had the introduction into the market of very, very low-cost properties that companies could then invest in and turn industrial or commercial properties into residential properties. And you had that happening at quite a bit of scale in Johannesburg, in Pretoria, even in parts of KZN. To my knowledge, we haven't seen that happen in Cape Town because the CBD itself didn't degenerate, although there are parts of Cape Town. For instance, I can speak to Salt River and Woodstock, where we might have seen that happening, and we're starting to see investment in affordable housing there. But I think the markets are very different. I can't really speak to Cape Town on this issue, but just to say what we saw in Johannesburg is the significant development of affordable rental stock coming through in the inner city precisely because there were opportunities for companies to invest in derelict and abandoned buildings that could be turned into residential accommodation.
Well, Ilana, we'd like to thank you for your time and insight on the matter this morning. I'm sure you know many of us do understand the situation a bit better, but we thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And that was Ilana Malta, consultant at 71.4, speaking to us.